that guy ain't shit. Sorry ass motherfucker got nothing on me, right? Nothing.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
I am Big Kev.
Why do they call you Big Kev?
Ooh. I am OG.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
I am Scapegoat.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
OG's not actually racist against many people.
There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally worthless.
I'm not really angry all the time.
This is Kevin destroying the Toy Beast Legends box set.
Fucking garbage! Why?
You know how I know that you're gay?
How? Because you're gay and you can tell who other gay people are?
I know it's fun. You're like, hey, I found buttons. Yeah. Let's push them to piss me off.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Hey, Vicious Smith, checking in for a long, long time. I wanted to know what you think about the Black Widow merchandising controversy, and do you think that companies should go ahead and cancel female figures if they don't sell enough? All right, I've spent enough time with you. Goodbye.
Hello.
Wow, that was almost like town crier kind of stuff. Hello there, good folks.
Oh,
welcome.
You're actually getting me excited for one of the stories in the,
hear ye,
this week. We should say, of course, although he hasn't spoken yet, Big Kev is here this week, although he sounds as though he's fallen asleep. If he doesn't wake up, I think we should just do the show without him.
Should we call this? Oh, look. What? Big Kev awakens.
Oh, look at that.
Oh,
I see what you kids did there. It's cute when you guys work together.
We set it up.
It's adorable, really.
Mm-hmm. No, that's like usual. I think he had no idea I was setting up and is now taking credit for it.
Yep. No. I would never take credit for such fine humor as that. That is all you, Scapegoat.
So we are here with episode 370 of this week's episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff. We are calling it, what are we calling it?
Big Kev Awakens.
Big Kev Awakens. Appropriate?
Yes.
Appropriate?
Yep. Because I have slept for about 20 hours.
Nice.
Being
last Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a bit there where I had forgotten what sleep was like,
right. Like
actual sleep, as opposed to I'm just sitting in a place, and then when I blink and look again, it's several hours later kind
you
of sleep.
You had con sleep for a week.
Oh my, you don't even know. Segment 2.
Yeah.
Segment 2.
So of course, yes, we are going to save all of the Star Wars and Star Wars Celebration chatter, because there's quite a bit of it.
A little bit.
Holy crap.
For segment 2.
Uh-huh.
But in segment 1, we have plenty of other things to discuss. Of course, first of all, we can address that lovely voicemail from caller garbled name.
Yeah. I thought it said Smith.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Smith.
That's probably a problem on our end and not on your end.
I don't think
but
so.
Whatever.
I don't think so. If you can speak clearly into the phone when you call the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
And leave a clearly spoken message. You may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff not being made fun of for your garbly voice.
I feel as though the rest of his call was okay, though. But maybe it's just me.
You think he kind of grew into it?
Maybe. Maybe he was scared at first.
Maybe. That's true.
You know, some of our callers, I'm not going to call anybody out, call 3-4 times, leave the same message till they get it right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Rehearsals.
That's right.
It's important.
You know what? That's okay.
If
that's what you want to do, that's fine.
Is this person the same person named after a city in a state?
No, it is not.
Oh, okay.
No, it is not that person. No. And look, there's nothing wrong with that. If that's what you want to do, that's fine.
Sure.
But, Garbledygook Smith, to address your point.
I hope it's him, because he's going to rip you a new one.
To address your point, or to address your question, rather. So for those of you who are not following, the controversy is as follows. There is a bunch of Age of Ultron merchandise out there.
Yes.
Figures, partially.
Most of it crap.
But the clothing and accessories and things like that, that are Age of Ultron related. But Black Widow is sort of missing from it. And so naturally, there's a lot of people who are quite upset about this.
Okay.
You know, is it a female thing? Is it a, you know, how come? Blah, 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 yada,
right.
yada. The first point I want to point out is that also missing from most of that merchandise, I'm garbled to go Goji, is Hawkeye. Hawkeye also missing right. from a lot of that stuff.
Very true.
Just kind of tossing that out there.
Uh-huh.
Where are the Hawkeye fans? No controversy there.
Nope.
But
shouldn't there just none. Be a tertiary character up here? Like
yeah, exactly. But to address the
they are the Professor and Marianne from the first season of Gilligan's Island theme, where it was where they were just like and the rest,
right? But to address the rest of it, for the females out there that are very upset, you know, their daughters want Black Widow merchandise, et cetera, et cetera. And for those of you who are pointing the finger at Disney, why I wanted to talk about this, because I actually was going to kind of gloss over this week. I really wasn't going to bring it up. I feel like we're talking about something controversial each and every week, and it's kind of getting tedious.
Yeah.
Well, there are controversies, and that's why we're here, to mock and make fun of them.
No, I don't want to mock and make fun. Actually, this one I think is slightly productive, because I'm noticing that more and more people are kind of assigning blame a little bit better as far as where it's focused. And initially, everybody is blaming Disney. Disney owns the rights, so Disney dictates the merchandise, which is only really half of the equation.
It's really it's really kind of a third of the equation.
What we learned, we being Big Kev and I, years ago, covering toys, and toys specifically, is that...
But it does spread to everything.
It does, yeah. But we learned this years ago dealing with Toy Biz to a certain degree, and then eventually Hasbro.
Right.
Is that, believe it or not, Walmart, Toys R Us, Target has much more impact on what makes it into the stores than the company that owns the rights to the product.
Very true.
And the reason behind that is they kind of dictate what they're going to carry based on what they think sells. I'm not even going to say what accurately sells, because I don't necessarily agree with them.
Right.
Most of the time.
Right.
Because for years, right, with Toy Biz, let's say, for right. years, it was always like, how come you're short packing Villain X, right? And the right. answer always was, Toys R Us kind of dictated the case allotment. They want one of Villain X because everybody wants Spider-Man.
Right.
Well, how come there are 50 Spider-Man still on the pegs? That's what Retailer X, not the actual Retailer X, but... yeah. Retailer to be named wants.
Right. right.
And so Hasbro mm-hmm. or Toy Biz in that regard was kind of responding to
right.
the people who are buying the merchandise direct.
Right.
You can't really fault Toy Biz for that. Because remember, Toy Biz isn't really making money off of me and you, the consumer. Toy Biz is making money off of Toys R Us.
Well, Toy Biz is making money off of nobody. But Hasbro.
At the time.
Right.
Right. Or Hasbro, right, isn't making money off of me and you directly. Hasbro right. is making money off of Walmart, Target, Toys R Us.
Correct.
Toys R Us is the one that's making money off of us.
Right.
So it's interesting to see in regards to this Black Widow thing that some people are finally starting to say, hey, listen, don't blame Disney, blame Target, blame Walmart.
Yes, but do these products exist at all?
But here's the problem. Yes, some of them do exist, and they're going to retailers like Hot Topic, or smaller... You know, smaller retailers are getting
online retailers.
Online also. Retailers get them, right?
Okay.
And so part of it is they do exist. And part of it is no, they don't exist. But the no, they don't exist is still kind of the retailer's fault. Because let's say, for example, Toys R Us says, I want 7,000 Iron Man toys. Why is Disney going to make a Black Widow toy, for example, if no one's going to buy it, or if the number of people buying it, retailers buying it, is less? So it's really, there are multiple parties
yeah.
to be blamed, and I think it helps to not boycott Disney per se, but maybe make your voices heard to Toys R Us, for example, right? If you can get Toys R Us to pull Breaking Bad figures, because you're a fucking idiot, you should be able to get them to carry more of the product you want. If you can get them to pull the product you don't want, you should be able to get them to carry the product.
Here's the question I have, because I have no...
There's more to this, too, but go ahead. Okay.
I have no, like... You know, there's certain arguments on the internet where, like, I have a pulse on it, so I kind of know. If these toys were in Toys R Us, like, the money speaks, right? Because no one gives a shit about petitions and stuff. I mean, bad publicity. If they were out there, would anyone buy them?
That's the other part of the equation that no one is talking about, but I want to talk about.
That's what I'm at. Like, I think it should exist, and I totally am on board with how. But if they were on store shelves, would anybody be buying them? And that's why Toys R Us doesn't have them in the first place.
So here's
that's
the problem. What I'm
asking. Well,
go ahead. You go ahead.
It depends, because the Black Widow action figure 6-inch that came out in the Captain America line was the hottest toy in the world for that few months when it came out, because it was short packed. One or two per case. I think it's one per case of that one. There was another one. I think it was one per case. But that was the hottest toy in the world because you couldn't get a hold of it.
I do want to stress, though, that this is not – this argument or this concern right now is not limited to figures. It's actually more about other merchandise, shirts, backpacks, other things. Figures are included, but the branding as a total and the merchandising as a whole is lacking in Black Widow. So – I think there are people that are interested in the product. The problem is, I'm not necessarily convinced that there are enough people. And that's part of the problem. And that's why people have to really communicate with their wallets. You need to buy every bit of Black Widow thing that's out there and not buy something else, maybe. I mean, you have to figure out a way to communicate to the retailers that you want more of what's not being made. And it's not, you have to understand that it's not just the license holder. It really is the retailers. And it really is you, the consumer. And again, I think there's a bunch of people that want it, but I don't know that there's enough. And I don't know how to fix that part.
But the other part is, whoever brought it up, would that person have bought this at all? Or they're just offended based on the concept?
So everybody.
Do you know what I mean?
So, like, everybody gets very vocal. Because
I agree. I'm conceptually against this also. But if my business is the bottom line and no one's going to buy that shit, why would I take a huge risk and make no money?
So the problem is
that there's never been a test.
That's what I was asking. Has there ever been a test?
There's never been a test. However, there are trends. But again, when it comes, and particularly this is with toys, when it comes down to toys, it also depends on who you're making. So if you made a Mara Jade action figure in a Star Wars line, chances are she's going to sell if she was a regular part of the release. But if you made a ceremonial gown Padme from the end of Episode One, she may not sell as well. And then therefore they would then take that data and say, well, look, this one didn't sell. Let's take a really controversial one. Slave Leia, who's on every peg in this country for the 6-inch Black Series.
Right.
Every store in the country has Slave Leia figures because everybody, including people at Hasbro, collector sites, and everything else said, this is going to be the figure. And guess what happened? We all bought them, but nobody else did. And because nobody else bought them, they're hanging on the pegs in every store in the country. Because they're hanging on the pegs in every store in the country, it's backlogging ordering, it's backlogging other things being received. So it really is a delicate balance, because if that had been maybe a different version of Leia, not necessarily the slave version of Leia, let's say it was, I don't know, Action Endor Leia, I don't know, it's probably a great example, but Bausch Leia is coming out, and they're all afraid of the same thing that's going to happen. So it really depends on what it is in part.
So I think that action figures are a bit of an exception, though, because and while it happens with figures, I think with Mara Jade, whatever, Leia, Black Widow, right? I think collectors on a whole, boy, girl, whatever, will buy those.
Correct.
Because they want them. However, if it's, let's say, a Black Widow t-shirt, right? How many people are buying it if it's just Black Widow? And if it's a Black Widow t-shirt that's aimed at girls with girl sizes, how many parents are buying it for their girl? If enough parents are vocal about it, but then they're not buying the product, then unfortunately the product is not going to get made. So
yeah, it's a catch-22.
It's a hard situation to correct.
They got to go to Kickstarter or something.
Yeah, well,
do you pledge that you'll buy this?
My daughter likes Black Widow.
And then they do it and no one makes it and no one buys them. And they say, we fucking told you, we're not doing this again.
Well, you have to. So what you have to do is you have to support the merchandise that's out there. and not let it languish. Even if you don't want that Black Widow water bottle, but you're vocal about this movement, buy the Black Widow water bottle. I mean, it sends a message when the merchandise sells. The problem is, I'm not convinced that if they made a bunch of girls' Black Widow shirts and they stocked them in every Target across the country, that they would sell out, that they would be that hot a commodity. I certainly think some would sell. I just don't know that it would be a hot commodity. My personal opinion, I could be wrong, but so there you go. That's the answer to the voicemail.
And it will be interesting to see when episode 7 comes out, because the lead is a girl.
Correct.
So that'll be interesting to see how that little particular situation gets handled, because here you have a character that's clearly part of in Avengers, you clearly have a character that's part of a group where she's not the lead in the film, but none of them are the lead in the film.
Right.
But here you have a movie coming out where she is clearly the focus, you know, and more and more, the more that we see that she is clearly going to be the lead in this film, and likely moving forward, she'll be the focus of, you know, the main focus of these other films, in the way that, say, Luke Skywalker was in the early trilogy, in the way that Anakin Skywalker was in the second, and now it's going to be a girl. So it's very interesting to see that all these problems are popping up now, because when you have the major, you know, the major film franchise of our lifetime is pointing in that direction, now you're going to see how these, you know, the wheat gets separated from the chaff.
Right, right. Oh, absolutely.
Marvel's doing a series with a female lead. Oh, sorry. You meant Star Wars is the franchise.
Marvel is, but yes.
Sorry, yeah, no, sorry.
One Marvel.
One other part to this Black Widow thing, and this might be Disney's fault.
Hold on, and there's a black guy in it.
Oh,
who is also one of the lead people.
And
just saying.
One other part of this that maybe you can assign blame to Disney too, but I think it's probably more of a cost issue. People are also saying that on the stuff that features the entire team, Black Widow is missing from that stuff, especially if it's targeted at boys. But that's the same stuff that Hawkeye is missing. If they're really just focusing on the big four, I don't necessarily blame them for doing it. I think it stinks if you want a shirt that has everybody on it.
Yep.
But I also think they're not excluding Black Widow because it's Black Widow. They're excluding Black Widow and Hawkeye because, unfortunately, they're perceived as the secondary tier. There's a lot of goddamn characters.
Yeah. So
they're not the big four.
Let me put a Star Wars spin on this. Ashley Eccleston, who is the voice of Ahsoka Tano in Clone Wars and Rebels.
Right.
Spoiler
alert. if you've been under a rock. She started her own Star Wars clothing line for girls, for women and girls, called Her Universe.
Her Universe, yep.
And she's been enormously successful at it because she's exactly focusing on those issues and being very successful at it. So I imagine that at some point, somebody might do the same for, not necessarily Marvel, but maybe other female geek type things or type franchises, and they too will be very successful at it. But I think I think it's something that definitely needs to happen if mainstream isn't going to do it.
Well, that's the thing. The question is, will it ever cross over from sites like Her Universe, which is a great site, and you're right, very successful, to Walmart? I don't know if it'll ever cross. It might.
Don't know.
But it might not.
Yep.
And if it doesn't, then all the more reason to support Her Universe.
Right.
And Hot Topic has some great stuff. I mean, support the places that have it, and just be, and I hate to say, but, you know, be happy that you have something and support that stuff. And
then, right,
you know, maybe someone will catch on. Who knows? All right, let's move forward.
Yes.
Let's go to Daredevil. Daredevil has a confirmed season 2, but a couple interesting things about that.
Yep.
First things first, different showrunners, which concerns me a little bit.
All right, let's take these one point at a time.
Okay.
But both new showrunners were working on the show under the former showrunner.
That is correct.
Yes, they're not new. They're stepping up. They do this all the time.
And the showrunner is becoming the producer.
Right. So it's not terrible.
Yeah. Well, it's because he allegedly doesn't have time because he's doing something else.
Right, yeah.
We don't know what that other thing is.
Iron Fist or Luke Cage, maybe. Oh, no, Luke Cage already had maybe Iron Fist or maybe Defenders. That's what I think.
I think he's working on another Marvel project?
Yeah, because you know why?
I think it's Iron Fist.
You know what I think? I think he's going to become the... I think he's going to become like guru. The Whedon guru
the Kevin of the Netflix. Of
yeah,
Netflix.
Of the Netflix world. You know, maybe he's the guy that they're going to put in charge to make sure they link together, because clearly he had a grip and knows how to handle Daredevil, and maybe he can be the one that kind of...
They already threw in some Iron Fisty, all that kind of stuff. Of course,
right.
The interesting thing, though, is that 2016 is when they're saying this is going to happen.
Yep. So when is the Defenders coming out?
Well, so there's a lot of questions. Well,
it doesn't mean one project has to be in play at a time.
No, but how can they start writing a show if they haven't written the other show? Right. Does this take place before the Defenders?
No, I think that
who said Daredevil was going to be one of the Defenders?
They did.
They did. They said all four team up. All four team up in the Defenders.
The idea was it was supposed to be four individual series that culminate in a fifth series, which was the Defenders, which featured a team up of the four previous characters.
Based on the success of Daredevil, maybe that plan has changed.
No, actually, what I think likely has changed is Defenders is going to be pushed back.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Absolutely.
I think Defenders is going to be pushed to 2017 and will feature two seasons of Daredevil and one season of the rest. That's what I think.
Yeah, they're going to push it further.
Yeah, because I don't think they're going to remove Daredevil from the equation because I think that kind of is self-defeating.
I think that's their headline person right
now. But I think they want to strike while Daredevil is still hot, and they don't want to wait 2 years to put out a season two. And I don't necessarily blame them.
Did you guys talk about Daredevil last week?
We did.
Yep.
We did.
Did you mention that there's something wrong with the hood, the head on the costume?
No, what's wrong with the head on the costume?
I don't know. It doesn't look right to me. And maybe it's because it has those weird lines on it. But there's something about, you know, like the part above where the forehead should be just seems to go up a little higher before it rounds back. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's something weird.
I didn't notice that.
I did.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I just didn't notice it.
I don't, and maybe something to do with the eye holes being too small also. I don't know. There's a
combination. Is it just that you don't like that it's not the one from...
From what?
From the Ben Affleck movie?
Oh, God, no. I wasn't overly fond of that one either, yeah. But it's not a question of liking one and not liking the other. I think it's a question of this particular one. I don't know. There was something about the way that part looked just bothered me. I'm sure I'll get used to it, but it just... I don't know. It just seemed a little weird.
You know what bothers me and is also going to be on Netflix? Fuller House.
Without Bob Saget. Or he's not a series regular.
Neither is Uncle Jesse.
No, he's focusing on the daughters.
Yeah.
It's focusing on Candace Bergen and Kimmy Gibbler.
Who gives a shit?
And,
I don't think it's Candace Bergen, sir.
Not Candace Bergen. Candace Cameron, sorry. Kimmy Gibbler. Well, I don't remember the actress's name. Jodie Sweetin. And the Olsen twins. I don't know.
Possibly.
Yeah.
They haven't confirmed whether they're going to get them or not, or one of them. They only need one of them.
Unless they make this like a dark parody of what it is. Like they make it meta-ish. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. This is not going to be good.
No, it won't be.
I don't think it's going to ruin a lot of people's childhoods.
Yes.
So who gives a shit?
Just saying.
All right. Let's move forward.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Dawn of Justice because it happened. Do you think...
Do you bleed?
I don't care. Do you think that the marketing team at Warner Brothers was forced to commit Harry Caray for releasing that original teaser?
Yep.
The same day that the episode 7 trailer was released?
I think they did it on purpose.
No, exactly. I exactly think the same thing. I think it was total. They're like, well, look, this is your other choice.
No, because it was that stupid. The one that they released that day was the one that was just the
come see this trailer. Yeah, in IMAX.
It was the two suits. It was the Superman suit and then Batman suit. And then it wasn't until the other one leaked that they eventually released the other one.
Leaked.
I mean, I thought it was poor planning on their part. But whether or not that's the case, what did you think of the trailer? I'm still completely underwhelmed by this movie.
It really just is sad. It's just so sad because you can see the potential in the characters because whether you're a fan of Superman, whether you're a fan of Batman, you want something good to come from these characters. And you can see that they have so much money and they have so much talent. And what they don't have is anything working at all. Nothing is working.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't get like when it's supposed to take place and how Bruce Wayne fits into it. I'm just... I think I got that.
I mean, not necessarily from the trailer, but I think based on all the stuff that's built up, Bruce thinks he's the only one that can take that's smart enough to take him down.
But
because he has no checks and balances. What's
Lex Luthor running clearly for president or mayor or whatever the fuck he's doing.
What's to stop him? Right. What's to stop Superman from doing anything he wants?
So I get that, right?
Yeah.
I get that. If, you know, we had a Superman that was outside of the destruction at the end of the first movie.
Yeah.
If we had a Superman,
we can't
that
discard
was,
that.
I understand
that. That is what it's going
that.
To be about.
But,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, right?
Which redeems Man of Steel, in my opinion.
Yeah, but in the trailer for Batman versus Superman, it looks as though some really bad shit has happened with Superman. Like, it looks like he did something to really piss some people off.
You mean like kill someone on national television?
Like that? Or
no.
like
and like
half
and
a
like
city?
Cause $1 billion worth of damage and kill millions of people?
The impression that I got was that he was really out of control.
No.
Not just reckless, not just killed Zod, because I think in some weird way, in the Warner Brothers mind, they can justify that as, well, Zod was the real threat and Superman was reckless, but he was blah blah blah.
Right.
But watching that trailer with the statue and like the graffiti on the statue, don't you get the impression that Superman did something like he killed some babies in a shopping mall?
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. I think that there's going to be a period that they don't show in the movie where Superman was saving a lot of people
right.
and doing it in a way that, like, I'm going to say this and
yeah.
like NSA surveillance style, like he's everywhere, so he's able to be there in the nick of time, and
right.
that's what's dividing people. You're right. The only way that it really makes sense is if he killed a bunch of babies by accident in a strip mall, but that's not what happened. I think it's just people worship him, even people in the military, because of he's protecting them and the crime rate's gone,
right.
even though he's killed. And then other people who are like, there, no one with this much power should be able to do this, and who is taking, and like the government's not stopping
okay.
him. And he also blew up half our city. I don't think they're actually going to set specific incidents where he shouldn't exist. I think they're using him as a figure, and I don't think anything really was written to tell you why people hate him. I think they're going off of the destruction of the city.
I think you're both right, but for different reasons. I think you're right that they are split, but I think the split is because partially of what you said, which is they're really split over the fact that, wow, this guy saved us from this thing, but he killed all of these people in the city
right,
in the
yeah.
process. So you have this group of people who really dig Superman for saving everybody, who put up a statue to him, and this group of people who are like, he's running around unchecked. Just think of it like the Democrats and Republicans.
And he's
it,
an
it
alien.
Just the finest, okay. it, yeah, it's just like the finest. It's the finest political split ever. But that said, how Bruce fits into that is he's one of those people that
right.
recognizes that Superman is running around unchecked. He destroyed half a city. Clearly people died.
Sure.
You know, while he saved this many people, he killed this many people. So, like, I think that's what the balance is. And he has to redeem, but he has to turn Bruce around.
I think the problem I'm having is the problem that I've had, at least I'm consistent with my problems. I just feel like it lacks the gravitas to have the relationship where Bruce and Superman are.
Well, that
like, I feel like there should be more history there.
But we all know that already.
I know.
That was our problem with the movie before any teaser
no,
came out.
They've
already manufactured as if like Superman's been around
right,
for six
I,
films.
No, I know that.
And
but,
we all know who Batman is because
so,
we
so my
do.
My opinion is I'm still underwhelmed. Like the trailer hasn't changed my opinion at all.
You know
a
what
lot of,
really
it changed some people's opinions. I saw a lot of people that were like, I thought this was going to suck, but now I saw this trailer and I think it's going to be great. And I'm like, did you see the same trailer that I saw? Because I don't get that impression at all.
No, not at all.
I do, but they don't deserve it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's exactly what a stereotypical trailer would represent this
right.
plot line does. Like, nothing about it is original or makes me think that this movie's going to be any good because they just showed all the previews. But also, that showdown scene that was just for Comic-Con was clearly not shot just for Comic-Con.
No, clearly not.
With the mech suit thing. I'm just putting it out
yeah.
there.
Yeah. I think, and I'll tell you this. This is one thing that I called a while back after watching Arrow for the first season. I said, I bet you they're going to use a voice changer for Bruce Wayne. Remember
I
said that?
Of course.
So they are. So
yeah, but that's
good.
Just because he's in his mech suit thing.
And you think that's an effect of the suit?
It was partially like a speaker when he was, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's changing his voice.
I'm willing to bet that even in his regular suit that he has a voice changer on. I'm willing to bet it. That's the new thing. That's the new glasses.
All right. Well, let's move forward. Let's leave
Wait,
Dawn of Justice
who,
where it is.
What? He has glasses on.
Those are new glasses.
All right. Let's talk about another trailer that came out.
That's really funny.
The Fantastic Four official trailer.
Isn't it the same trailer?
Let's move on to Valiant. It is. No.
No, I learned so much more about the film in this,
another trailer that people are saying it changed their opinion, and I'm like, how? What about it changed? Because you saw his stretchy arm? Because things still looks like a rock biter? Like, what about it? Because
Doom has a green hood on? Like, what?
And what's going on with his face? It looks like it's not really a mask. It looks more like a skin disorder. I'm not sure what's happening.
Yeah.
And is Doom from Dimension X in that trailer? I'm confused.
And I know OG is usually one to bring this up, but can we discuss how she's the daughter of a black guy with a black brother?
I don't know. Adopted.
I mean, she... I hope, because I don't get that one at all.
I don't know. I'm not going down that road. I'm afraid.
In the ham-handed way, they're already pushing her and Reed together already in the trailer. It's awful. It's just awful.
Yeah, nothing about it. Again, nothing about it excites me. I wasn't underwhelmed by this one. I'm just angry.
And they don't go into outer space. And they just every
no, they go to Dimension X. Or yeah, some I know. Shit.
But it just seems every sort of thing that involves the Fantastic Four. It's what can we minimize? What is the least common denominator that we can do to make this work? Okay, that guy has to be on fire. That guy has to be an orange pile of rocks. That one has to be blonde and invisible. And that one has to have stretchy bits. Other than that, it's anybody's game.
Ooh, stretchy bits?
Yeah. Seriously. That's it. It's anybody else's. It's anybody else's game after that. It could have been. I mean, just think of the possibilities if you just use those criteria.
I hear you.
And that's what they've done. They've taken the bare minimum identifiers of the characters and they've built a shit film around them. It's awful.
I concur 100%.
So we'll have our full review of that.
Never! All right.
I'm going to see it. Who doesn't go see it? Who doesn't slow down and look at a train wreck? I'm going to see that movie. I'm not
supporting it. It's box office numbers. Because
I said I was paying for it.
I was going to say, you know what happens is if you go see it and you pay for it,
hey,
they're going to make a second one. That's the problem.
They will. Or an eighth one.
So, you know, if you really think it's stink, don't go see it.
That's right.
Don't support it. Let it die a natural death.
That's right. You are
alone in a cave.
You all are responsible for Fast and Furious.
That's right.
Just saying.
All right. Let's move on. I quickly kind of sort of mentioned the Valiant thing jokingly, but let's talk about that very quickly. Valiant is partnering with Sony for a 5-picture deal surrounding their books, starting with Bloodshot and Harbinger. The director behind John Wick, which I heard was a really good movie, by the way, but
great.
I did not see.
Yeah, awesome.
Is going to be the one directing Bloodshot. Here's the problem I have. I don't care about Valiant. That's part one.
Neither
I
does
don't
anyone
care
else.
About the characters, right? And I kind of feel like this is Sony going, well, we lost Spider-Man.
We got to have another comic book group. Who's the Archie? No, I don't know on that road.
And so here's my other thing. If you are a fan of Valiant, let's say you love it, because some people were really excited about this. Let's say you love it. Good for you. I don't agree with you, but good for you. You should be terrified at the notion that it's Sony that
first
is
of all,
handling this.
Can I say this? If you really love Valiant, would you please give the GVM line a call?
At 425-920-6050.
And for the love of God, explain why. Because I don't get it.
Hey, listen, in all fairness, maybe they're putting out better books than Marvel. Wouldn't it be hard.
You know, that is probably a really good argument. However, I still don't get it.
I know, I understand. Look, people like independent books. They are independent books. Look, I admit back in the day I read them, but I kind of read them back in the day, I think, out of like...
You said that like...
Out of like nostalgia. Not nostalgia, out of like curiosity.
You said that like I once thumbed through a gay porn magazine. What? What? Who didn't?
Well, I'll tell you who did.
Who did? I'll tell you who did. Young Iceman.
Young Iceman. But not really Young Iceman. Let's talk about this. So... In this week's issue of the X-Men.
Now, which X-Men is this?
The X-Men. Oh, okay. New X-Men is the title. New X-Men number 40.
Now, we need to say what's going on in the book here.
So, New X-Men is the book.
Right.
Where through a terrible plot device, the original members of the X-Men,
a la Chris Claremont,
the original members of the X-Men are brought forward in time.
Correct.
In order to try to correct the universe that Cyclops has sort of fucked up a little bit by killing Professor X and a bunch of other things that happened.
Right.
Right? That's kind of what happened with the new X-Men early on when the book first came out.
Correct.
Wait, why are they going forward in time because, to fix something because, that happened in
so
the past?
So the X-Men right now are way broken up into a bunch of different groups. One of the groups is sort of it's sort of like a political
hot potato.
Yeah, and Cyclops kind of killed Professor X, and Cyclops is not liked by most of anybody else on the planet. Yeah. And his little ragtag group of X-Men that he has behind him, they're like radicals. Like the radical X-Men. You know what I mean? Like a lot of the other X-Men are kind of like, look, you're kind of crazy.
Not quite Magneto radical, but they're there.
But they're close, right? And so what they did was it Jean Grey that did it? I don't even remember who did it. But someone brought the original X-Men.
Oh, that I'm not sure who did it.
No. Someone brought the original X-Men. Iceman, Beast before he was blue. Iceman when he was still a snowman.
And gay.
Young Jean Grey before she was the Phoenix. Young Cyclops. Who am I missing? An angel before he was Archangel.
Right.
To the present as a means of sort of like trying to have them correct what went wrong and also try to ground current Cyclops. It was this really weird story that I kind of followed. So anyway, in this week's issue of New X-Men, Jean Grey, in what some people might consider a twatty move, outs.
Young Jean Grey.
No.
Is it old Jean Grey?
I believe it is old. Oh,
no, it's young.
Oh, no, it's young Jean Grey.
It's young Jean Grey.
Outs Bobby Drake. She's reading his mind, and she's like, oh, you're gay. Don't hide it.
Oh, no. It's because he said...
He's kind of being Bobby Drake.
No, he commented on somebody... Was it Psylocke being hot?
Yeah.
Or something like that? Or not Psylocke. I can't remember who it was. She was commenting... Oh, Magic. It was Colossus's sister. Yeah. Commenting how hot she was. And Jean Grey is basically like... Come on.
And then pulls him aside. She's like, I got to talk to you over here. And she's like, why are you doing this? Like, I know that you're kind of like overcompensating. And what are you talking about?
He knows she's hot and she knows she's hot.
Yeah.
But, and Jean Grey goes, you're gay.
And he's like, well, maybe I'm bi. And she's like, no.
Wait, I don't understand. Yeah. What is the purpose of this again?
So that Marvel can have a newsworthy headline.
But don't they need to handle this the right way? Yes. Otherwise, it doesn't matter.
Well, so here's.
Does he even know he's gay?
But let the news know.
But wait, this isn't even the news yet. This isn't even the news. There's a twist, much like an M. Night Shyamalan.
Dun, dun, dun.
He is in fact gay. However, they go on to say that other Bobby Drake.
Older Bobby Drake.
Older Bobby Drake. Not gay.
Not gay.
But.
Ah!
He was cured.
So. Well, so this is why I think this story is dangerous. Because I think if it's not handled properly.
Fuck.
They're teetering on the decision line. Like being homosexual is a choice, not something that's innate. What I think is going to happen.
Is that true, Scapegoat?
Scapegoat had to go through the procedure. But this is. So what I think is going to happen is they're going to reveal that the team that they brought back is not the true younger version of the original team.
It's from Earth 619.
It is an alternate team.
Where this Bobby's is
all
gay.
This is all going to hash itself out during Secret Wars.
Of course.
And what I suspect is going to happen is that the Iceman that sticks around post Secret Wars will be gay Iceman as a means of Marvel having another major gay character in their universe.
Yep.
That's how I think this is all going to play out.
Yep.
So the big reveal is going to be that it's not the actual X-Men that we thought it was all along, that it's another dimension or another universe's X-Men.
What? Yeah.
Who gives it? Okay.
Who gives? The news. And when Marvel can hit the real news.
CNN.
Yeah. When Marvel can hit the actual news media to promote their shit by doing dumb crap like this. That's what they do.
Okay.
All right. One more thing, because I know we have a ton to talk about. We're running a little bit long in segment one.
You're gay.
Dominic Cooper has been confirmed as Jesse Custer in Seth Rogen and AMC's upcoming Preacher.
Oh, right. They're still doing that.
Yes, they are still doing that.
So, actually,
the only casting I disagree with, I think, is for what's her name?
Seth Rogen?
No, he's not actually in it.
No, I know. No, I'm joking.
For what's her name from S.H.I.E.L.D. has been cast as Tulip. Reyna from S.H.I.E.L.D. has been cast as Tulip. That's the only one that I kind of question so far. Dominic Cooper as Jesse Custer.
Dominic Cooper, who you may know from such films
Howard as... Howard
Stark. Yeah, he was Howard Stark. Well, which one? He was Howard Stark
young Howard Stark.
Captain America.
And in Agent Carter.
And in Agent Carter. He was not young Howard Stark.
He was not older Howard
Stark. Older Howard Stark in any of the Iron Man movies.
Right, correct. That was that Walt Disney lookalike.
Yeah.
I never remember the actor's name, but...
Ted Disney.
I don't know how I feel about Dominic Cooper.
Really? I kind of think it's a good choice. He looks like him.
He's good,
I really like him as a performer.
I like him as an actor. Honestly, I'm going to be completely honest here. I'm really hung up on the image. I kind of see him as that kind of pretty boy Howard Stark, and I'm having a hard time seeing him as like smoking, dirty, cussing Jesse Custer. You know what I mean? Like,
they'll dirty him up.
Oh, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll do a fine job. And again, I like him as an actor, so I think he can handle the role.
Right.
So I'm okay. I'm okay with it. Look, I'm actually really interested in the series. And again, I've said this before, after seeing what was the Seth Rogen movie about the end of times? The end of days?
This is the end.
Is that what, after seeing that, I have faith in his ability to produce a good movie. If he was playing Jesse Custer, that I'd have a problem with. But if he's
or anything,
if it's him and Evan, what's his face, the guy that did this, I'm okay with that. I think the two of them are capable of putting out a good product.
Sure.
So we'll see. We'll see
how it goes. Indeed.
I think with that though,
we could do some quick updates. Gotham, who cares? Because we haven't seen it.
Yeah, Gotham, who cares?
Yep.
I haven't watched Arrow yet. I haven't watched S.H.I.E.L.D. yet.
Oh,
wow.
But I have watched Flash.
Oh, I was going to say, in that case, maybe not so quick updates.
I watched Flash.
I watched S.H.I.E.L.D.
I just didn't have a chance to watch S.H.I.E.L.D. yet this week. I apologize.
Yeah, I watched it. I thought it was pretty good.
We'll talk more about S.H.I.L.D. next week because I want to see...
I want to see how it plays out anyway.
And there's that like spinoff rumor going on, and I want that to flesh itself out a little bit more.
Is the finale next week?
No, the finale is not until after Age of Ultron because I suspect there will be at least one or two or three or four episodes post Age of Ultron.
I hope.
There has to be at least a couple.
I hope so.
There has to be. And Age of Ultron is 2 weeks away.
Because honestly, I'm waiting around hoping that happens because right now the show is like, we're treading water still.
Yeah. I don't agree with that.
They have to resolve the other S.H.I.E.L.D.
I'll tell you this. It was a rough week for some of those characters. A rough week. That's all I'm going to say.
I think the spinoff is going to be S.W.O.R.D., but we'll talk about it next week. I think we should take our first break.
Agents of S.W.O.R.D.
Yeah, that's it. I think we should take our first break. This is episode 370, Big Kev Awakens.
70. Ahoy, hoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. Much like the planet of Alderaan, the internet exploded last week with Star Wars Celebration. Among the Episode 7 trailer, and finding out that BB-8 is a fully tangible physical robot, the developer DICE has officially announced the release date for Star Wars Battlefront, which is November 17th, 2015. Yes, this year, it's all coming together. It's the third Battlefront game, but they're not bothering with a number system. Besides some old video game database, no one's going to confuse this game with a PlayStation 2 disc. A lot of details have been going around, but here are a few that have been officially addressed. The game will have 20 versus 20 player battles, a slight decrease from Battlefield's 32 versus 32 players, but I look at that as a positive. You get too many people on the field, the whole thing becomes a mess. The game will have no single player campaign. This type of thing might have worked before, but with titles like Titanfall and Evolve, it hasn't been working lately. It might affect longevity, but it's in no way a deal breaker. This is a game I've been waiting for. They will be getting my money. There will be flying vehicles, but there will be no ground-to-space maps, meaning flying an X-Wing from a launch pad into outer space. But the wording does not rule out a TIE fighter dogfight in space, but it will be completely separate from flying your vehicle around the planet-bound map. Someone started a rumor there would be as few as 4 maps, which is not only untrue, but it's laughably stupid. Listen. The developer has said there will be more than 8 maps. Not that 8 is a big number, but there will be more maps than the number 8. And Battlefront is published by EA, so there will most likely be map pack DLC. A variety of modes might be something to discuss, but I highly doubt they would screw up not enough maps. You'll even get a bonus map for free. The episode 7 planet of Jakku. Am I saying that right? It's only been a thing for a week. And not only is it a free DLC map, but people who pre-ordered the game will get it a week early. And finally, the trailer for Battlefront. They say it was made with the game's engine using game assets. The problem is it looks amazing. Too amazing. I love my PlayStation 4, but I've seen what it can do. And this trailer seems somehow out of reach. The game would have to be released on fire for me not to buy it. They will be getting my money, I'm gonna buy that thing. But I've lived through the Killzone 2 trailer. I've been burned by multiple Ubisoft games. So now, we all have to wait until E3 for EA to show actual game footage. And if it does look just as amazing, I will completely retract my skepticism. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
Hey guys, it's Frank, KeyMonkey67 on the Twitter. Just watched the new Star Wars Rebels preview for next season 2. Wow. It looks amazing. Have you guys seen it yet? If you haven't, check it out. Incredible.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 370, Big Kev Awakens.
Dun, yes. Dun, 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 dun.
Good call. So rumor is you were at Celebration.
That is a rumor I can confirm at this time. I was there for 5 days. Yes, the convention is only 4 days, but I was there for five.
Okay.
So do you,
I mean, I know there's a lot we should talk about, but...
Okay.
Should we talk about the news that came out of it and then how you relate to it?
Well, let's
how
talk, do you want to handle it? Well, let's talk first about that phone call that we just got.
Okay, we could start off with that.
So, Rebels Season 2 trailer.
Yes.
Phenomenal. They also screened the first 3 episodes of Rebels.
Was it the first 3?
First 3 episodes.
I only thought it was the first one.
No, it's the first 3.
Okay.
At least that my understanding. I was not there.
Right.
However, what I can tell you is that everybody that was there and has explained to me what occurred in it was amazing.
Yeah, the reaction online was outstanding. The one confusing part about this whole thing for me.
Uh-huh.
So yes, we did see the trailer. The trailer's uh-huh. awesome. Thank you.
Yes.
When is the actual release of the new season? There's no release date for the new season yet.
I believe it's in the fall. I don't know that they've committed
it's
to a
date
yet.
It's that far out?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy talk.
I believe it's in the fall. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, that aggravates
me. But I believe
me.
It's in the fall.
All right.
Everything that you saw in the trailer is but a taste of... this is going to apparently blow previous... seasons obviously season one of Rebels, but also Clone Wars out of the water.
I mean,
they're going deep.
We what? Have Vader, more Vader in season two.
Why are you skeptical?
Because that claim makes me skeptical. That's all.
Okay.
Rex,
mm-hmm.
lots of Rex.
Oh my God.
Old Rex.
It's not even just Rex.
Santa Rex.
It's any of the clones that are left.
Yeah,
the 501st, and they're living inside of an AT-TE.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all kitted out. I mean, that's really
and
amazing.
I love that they're all just they're not they're no armor. They're just you they're know not, themselves, right? So I just
because they don't fit.
I know, but I love the look. I mean, it's
they're going full circle with Clone Wars.
Uh huh.
It's the first time we've seen an old clone unmasked.
Yeah, yep.
I mean, right? I mean,
yeah.
We haven't seen that age
correct.
Of that character.
It's very
ever,
exciting.
So it's interesting.
Also, Ashoka.
Uh-huh.
Who's
the other character that everybody was really excited is back? From someone else from Clone Wars. The character's name is eluding me right now.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure who you mean.
I'll see if I can find it.
I heard there was also Clone Wars stuff there. They had some story reels or whatever that were left over.
There was a couple of episodes of Clone Wars or something, wasn't there?
There was. Some arcs that they never finished
yes,
that they made.
And the reason they will never be released... is because they conflict with continuity, with current continuity, or plans of continuity. So therefore, they cannot. There are 3 episodes of Clone Wars that they can't release, that are finished, that they can't release because they conflict with whatever the continuity is moving forward, if that makes sense. So they don't want to release them because they don't want to create confusion, and rightly so.
Sure.
So,
yeah, it doesn't make sense if
you know,
they're not part of canon.
And you can only guess as to you know what it conflicts with exactly, but they're being very... The story group now is being very careful because apparently there's already been some some continuity conflicts within the novels.
Right.
So they're being very, very, very careful. I mean, the word has come down that, you know, they need to be doing a much better job at continuity, because moving forward, everything is going to be tight as a drum, continuity-wise.
Nice. It's as it should. I mean, let's be honest.
Yep.
Especially with the fans of Star Wars who will nitpick it to death.
Oh, yes.
And destroy it.
I know. I just spent time with a bunch of them. Yeah. So, yeah, I totally get that. And on that note, before we kick in any further, I do want to give great big thanks, of course, to Jedi News.
Yes.
Our friends over in the UK. Matt Booker, James Burns, Mark, Brian, all the whole crew over there. I got to spend time with them, stay with them, live with them,
nice.
And everything else. And it was really terrific. They were very helpful. I like to think I was a bit helpful to them, you know, with regards to coverage and getting things done and so on and so forth. And we had a ball.
Awesome.
A ball. I also want to mention Chuck as part of that group. Chuck P, because no one can pronounce his last name, from Jedi Temple Archives. It really was the group of us who were doing everything together. And also the Force United booth, which is Jedi News, Jedi Temple Archives, and a few other casts that you can check out as well, podcasts and websites. And they were very gracious to have me at their booth. They mentioned Big Kev's Geek Stuff in some of their
nice
reporting and so on and so forth. So overall, it was a really great time, and I'm really glad I got to spend time with all those guys, especially super deluxe friend of this program, Automatic Matt
Booker. Yeah, we love Matt.
So, and I feel like I haven't seen him in 100 years, but now I feel like I want to see him all the time, and I don't even know when the next time I'm going to see him is.
Word.
So, there's that. I have never gone to I very rarely go to panels of any kind.
Right.
Matt Booker and I made the decision on midnight-ish on my birthday, which was last Thursday, that we were going to go wait in line with the other 600 to 800 people to see the J.J. Abrams, Kathleen Kennedy panel the next day.
Right.
Because we thought it was significant and historically important and so on and so forth. So we wanted to be there.
Sure.
I mean, that's a naturally logical thing to do. So when we left the convention center to go back to the hotel, freshen up, go get a bite to eat before we spent God knows how much time
online
in the basement,
right,
which is where the line was, in the basement of the Anaheim Convention Center, where I have not slept now. At this point, it's like 36 hours since I slept. Matt Booker has slept, but of course, you know, with everything that's going on, it's a lot.
Sure.
So by the time we get back to the convention center at about 2 a.m., there's 2,000 people
Jesus Christ.
Lined up in various degrees of sleep. I posted some pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll send them so that you can have them for the episode photo bits.
Sure.
And you have never seen or lived until you see a couple of thousand people who are just camping out and falling asleep. They had babies. They had baby, like, things, like cribs set up. Jesus they had people Christ. Had, like, cots. I mean, it was
insanity.
It was amazing. People just shit wrapped around their heads so that the dark wasn't affecting their sleep. You know, they had a concession place down there that was open the entire time. They kept running out of food. They had to bring more food. It was amazing.
Sure.
Amazing situation. But I did get to be a part of that panel. Matt Booker and I had great seats, so we got to see everything live and up close, which was great. We got to see the trailer, which I'm sure every person on the planet has seen by now.
We're going to talk about that in a second.
So BB-8, magnets? Magnets?
Sphero.
We're going with magnets?
Sphero with magnets.
It's actually that?
It's the same company who built Sphero.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Because I said that it was a weighted gyroscope thing.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm fucking, hey.
Sphero.
Know that shit.
The company built Sphero is the company that built BB-8.
Cool.
They're also building a toy version of
BB-8. Yes.
So that's going to be very cool. And yes, the actual BB-8 was there rolling around on stage with the
R2. That actually got a lot of press.
Oh, because yeah,
it did. People really thought it was going to CGI.
Really thought it was CGI.
They didn't think that it was a practical effect. And that thing rolled out on stage and people went, myself included, berserk.
They also said that no one was controlling it. It was just on its own.
No, that's not true. It's no.
They alluded to that.
No, it's definitely controlled.
Okay, all right.
Definitely controlled. Much in the same way as Sphero was controlled. Couple of good things to come out of that panel, obviously, was that they said a few things like Boyega is a stormtrooper.
Right, right.
They also confirmed that what's her name, Gwendolyn Christie, is that silver? I don't know if they
can Chrome Trooper.
Yeah, right? I don't know if they confirmed that in that panel or not. That I forget. They confirm. I mean, they confirmed so much. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. One of the things I thought was really cool was that Kathleen Kennedy attended Celebration last year at Celebration Europe in Germany,
right?
And hired after her walk through the Droid Builders room. Called J.J. Abrams and said, we need to hire these guys.
We talked about that last year when they actually, I think, because J.J. Abrams, I think, announced that at one point in time. Yeah. We actually talked about that on the show, that right. he hired a bunch of those guys.
Well, he had them
there.
And they
did the redesign. Yeah, they were at the panel.
They did all the astromech droids in the movie, right. These guys did.
So all the domes for just the vehicle.
Oh, the new R, I mean, they call them R5?
No, they did R2-D2.
They redesigned R2.
Everybody, yeah.
Yeah.
I think what's amazing is here you have two guys that are doing it as a hobby, and now this is their career.
Because, yeah, that's awesome.
The astromech droids from now on, I think, are these guys' responsibility.
Yeah, good.
So that includes everything moving forward.
Good on them.
They weren't prepared to tell us any more than what, you know, like what we had previously known.
Yeah, there are still characters that we don't know who they're playing.
Exactly.
We still don't know who Adam Driver is.
Exactly.
Domhnall Gleeson. We don't know who he's playing still.
It's exactly what JJ wants. JJ wants everybody to keep he wants to give as much information as he can without ruining
everything.
Because so many movies these days ruin it with the trailer.
Well, let's talk about the trailer then.
Let's do that. What did you think?
It was good.
I loved it. It was fantastic.
It was teasy.
Very teasy.
Yeah, I think everything about it was great. It was nice to finally see a better view of Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren, in my opinion,
without the fudge popsicle.
Here comes
the speculation.
Let the speculation begin. That's what we should have called this episode. Yeah. But I think Kylo Ren is a wannabe Sith.
Okay.
And he is collecting Sith artifacts.
Okay.
Including lightsabers, people's masks, like Vader's burnt up mask, crispy mask.
You think that was him that had that crispy mask and not Luke? I thought it was Luke that had the crispy mask. I figured he took it from the fire at the end of Jedi.
Luke is the one petting R2.
Yes.
With the shit mechanical hand. Yeah. And of course, everybody's like, why does he have a shit mechanical hand? Well, no, it further perpetuates the speculation that Luke has been missing.
He's Obi-Wan in it.
Well, no, he's been missing, like, in prison. Like, a prisoner.
He's been in prison?
Yeah. For a number of years.
For the First Order? Is that what they're called now?
They're no longer called
the Empire?
I am not sure.
It's the First Order. The Imperials are now called the First Order.
Right.
And the Rebels are no longer called the Rebels. They're called the Resistance. But that was interesting that they're changing the names around.
Could be. Could be.
Is it so that they're different than the previous rebels? And I
think it represents changes in what each one stands for.
Yeah.
The other hot rumor is that you saw the Star Destroyer crashed on the planet.
Yep.
The other rumor is that all of the elements of the Empire in this movie are people that crashed in that ship and have taken up refuge on that planet.
Jakku.
That's another hot rumor that nobody knows whether it's true or not. I mean, there's a billion things. If you went frame by frame, there's an argument or a speculation about every single frame of it.
Sure.
Of course, the big frame of it where I barely heard what they said the first time they showed the trailer was they actually showed Han and Chewie
at the end of the trailer,
which I thought was really brave on their part. But what a more poignant, could you get a more poignant line?
Absolutely.
Out of two people at a trailer. And I'm telling you, when he said Chewie, we're home, I barely could hear that he said it, because the next sound you heard was 7,000 people screaming at the top of their lungs. Which I thought was the loudest sound I'd ever heard.
Wow.
Yeah.
Until the guy who was hosting the stage came out and said, do you want to see it again? And then everybody lost their... I literally turned to Booker. That was the loudest sound I've ever heard. And 5 seconds later, it was the louder than that sound.
That's funny.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely amazing. It should do nothing more than whet the appetite. I don't know that we're going to get another trailer.
I hope we don't, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that we're going to get another trailer.
I don't want them to Age of Ultron it.
Yeah, but it's coming out in December, and it's Disney, so they're going to.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Well, JJ, if JJ has his way.
Don't forget.
He'll lie to save a plot twist.
Don't forget. Yes, it's Disney.
He will lie to your face to save a plot twist.
Yeah. Hold on. Don't forget. Yes, it's Disney. But you also have to remember that part of the deal was Kathleen Kennedy has complete control.
That's right.
So if Kathleen Kennedy via or J.J. Abrams via Kathleen Kennedy doesn't want another trailer, there fucking won't be one. They'll run this one to death, but they won't do another one if Kathleen Kennedy doesn't want it.
Let's talk about Rogue One.
Which, if you thought the Episode 7 trailer got a wicked reaction, the Rogue trailer one, which absolutely nobody knew anything about walking in the door, everybody's speculation and everything, like it was a there was even a faction of people that thought it's a fake title. They're just throwing it out there to see if it sticks because everybody wants the Boba Fett movie. This movie not only makes so much sense to do.
I love the story behind this.
So much sense to do, and the people that are doing it are going to kill it.
Yeah.
Right? It is essentially the story of the attack that got the plans for the Death Star to the rebels. So we should see a whole lot of Bothan blood.
Yes.
If the rumors are true,
right.
We should see a whole lot of Bothan blood because that was the line. A lot of Bothans died to bring us this information, whatever the line was from
millions
Star Wars.
Millions of Bothans. Whatever.
Not millions.
Thousands.
So there's an entire movie based on one line out of...
Well, it's not only one line.
It's a heist movie. It's great.
It's not a heist movie. It is, first of all, an espionage movie. Second of all, even the director at the panel said, look, this is called Star Wars, right? This is the war because all the concept art has drop ships dropping rebel soldiers who are charging forward a la Saving Private Ryan, et cetera.
This is your platoon Star Wars movie?
It's more like Saving Private Ryan.
Apocalypse Far, Far Away? Is that...
No, I'd say more like Saving Private Ryan. I think it's a mass group of people down to a smaller group of people who actually get the plans out and so on and so forth. Right. But that said, the concept of doing that level of a war movie on Star Wars is unprecedented, obviously.
Sure.
It is an event in Star Wars history that no one's touched it.
No one's tackled it.
The closest thing even is Rebels, and Rebels theoretically will take place before this event.
Rebels should lead up to Rogue One.
They could totally, elements from both can cross over.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think we're going to see that much in the way that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and those movies cross over. I think that is likely to happen.
I've actually already started to hear, and it's all rumor, but I've actually already started to hear which character from Rebels is going to appear in Rogue One, and will it be Hera or something along those lines?
And that should happen.
I'd be okay with someone doing that.
We'll see eventually if that does happen, but I think that absolutely should happen. I think it's a brilliant idea. Guys making it have worked on Saving Private Ryan and some other big war films. So it's really like this is like the Star Wars war film.
You know,
where we've seen war scenes in other Star Wars films, this one is I think a completely different animal and good for them for going in a different direction. They didn't create another group of characters to go off and do one particular thing. They created a giant espionage war picture. That's what they did.
It's like
right out of World War II. You know, we got to get the secret Nazi plans and for the attack and blah blah blah. Not unlike that picture. Yeah.
Let's move past Rogue One then, and we're going to go to Battlefront. Now, of course, during the break, Coke Logic gave us a little bit of an update on Battlefront. What's going on with that?
Oh well,
we're going to talk about it a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, let me support what Coke Logic said by saying I've seen the gameplay footage.
Yeah.
I've seen it in spectacular, humongous style.
Right.
And I'm telling you, you have nothing to worry about, sir, Mr. Logic, sir, because it is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, based on the trailer, it looks amazing. Of course, one of the big things to come out of the trailer, which I thought was funny because Star Wars fans, and I'm one of them, but we're also very predictable. And you could see a trailer of something and you could pick out the exact bits that people are going to attach themselves to.
Uh-huh.
And of course the biggest one was Boba Fett is alive. He survived the Sarlacc. This confirms that he survived the Sarlacc pit. Whether or not that is the case.
Uh-huh.
But 'cause he is in the trailer. And that is supposed to be on Jakku, by the way, that sequence. So I guess he did survive the Sarlacc pit, apparently.
That is not necessarily supposed to have taken place on Jakku, number one.
Oh, I thought that was confirmed
Jakku
already.
Jakku is a planet that's available in there, but I believe Tatooine is also.
Okay.
So
I thought I had read that sequence was from there, but I could be wrong.
I didn't confirm that.
Yeah, I could be wrong. There was some controversy that Coke Logic really didn't hit on. He kind of hit on the number of maps, but he didn't hit on the whole DLC and the...
Yeah, so,
you promised the space battles, but there are no space... But they hit on that, so you can hit on that, Scapegoat.
Well, there were... So a while back, there were rumors about what was going to be in this game, and that there were, I think, three different levels of play, which is ground, sort of like flying around shit, right, like helicopters, and then there were going to be space battles.
Right.
And no one knew how the space battles interact. And apparently space battles are not a thing,
right,
in the game. So people are mad about a feature that may never have been in the game in the first place. This all came from a rumor as far as I'm aware.
Right.
But because of people's general distrust of EA and the Battlefield 4 launch and all that kind of stuff, people started bitching that basically, are they cutting features and they're going to sell this to me later in DLC? There's only five maps. There's only six maps, whatever. Right. There's only eight maps, I think, was finally the number. And at a certain point, a developer from DICE responded and was like, we've never done that. That's never been what we do. We've never done that in our lives. We've never been like, that's a feature that we can definitely finish on time, but let's push it off instead so we can take people's money. We don't do that. So if you don't believe me, that's your fucking problem. I don't expect you to, but that's, you guys got to relax. So basically that's what's happening. The internet's freaking out. And everyone freaking out is probably going to buy it anyway.
Sure, of course.
And the game still looks awesome. The things that people are right to talk about are basically there isn't as much choice and variety of characters and classes and all the kind of stuff that I want from Battlefront when I used to play Battlefront.
Right.
However, look at the game.
Yeah, I mean,
they can't do that yet. Like, they can't
always add more later.
Right. There is the possibility for them to add with DLC. You know,
not only that, but this is the first iteration of the game in the next gen platform.
Right.
Working with those specs and within that world. We've waited so long for this game in general
years,
that
right?
We should be happy that we're getting anything. To a certain degree, you should be happy that you're getting something finally. And let's be honest, if it's successful and there's another 20 years of Star Wars already on the big white board in the Disney headquarters, you know there's going to be another Battlefront game. So yeah, they'll tackle all the things you want to see, I'm sure, at some point. But for now, it's been 10 years. They look spectacular. It looks beautiful. It looks like there's some interesting things to do. Let's have fun with it.
That was a bit of a slip by Kathleen Kennedy, by the way, during the conference where she did say a decade.
Yeah.
And the only thing they've confirmed so far is 6 years. But she did say, you know, for a decade.
Yeah.
So
they've got a lot on the board.
Oh, yeah. A lot.
So good on them.
Disney is taking the game.
Disney owns the everything.
They own
everything. $4 billion is a lot of money to make up.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, if you...
Billion with a B.
But there's one room owned by the same company where they have 20 years of Star Wars planned.
Right.
And there's another room where they have 20 years of Marvel planned. And that,
not to mention,
someone Pixar above those people is just counting money.
Yeah. Bob Iger. He was also at Celebration.
I'm just saying.
He's got a printer in his office, and it's just printed.
And then someone's going, so Toy Story 4, we're going to do Toy Story 4? Which they are.
Toy Story 4.
It was on that. Did you see that list that came out?
That's what I'm saying.
Including the Peach Dragon remake?
Yep.
Why the hell have we never talked about that outrage?
Incredibles 2 is coming down.
Brad Bird finally started writing it.
And it's not a musical? It's just like pizza and pork in and dragon.
There's
what the hell?
Disney has a lot on their platter. That new movie, Inside Out, looks really cute. Pirates of the Caribbean is back in there. And
have we talked about Peach Dragon?
No. Mm-hmm. How about we'll talk about Peach Dragon next week? Because I think...
Do you hear that?
Running at about an hour and 15 minutes where we are right
now.
Wow.
I didn't even get into the meat of it.
No. I think we're going to have to do Celebration Part 2.
Oh, boy.
Listen, we've traditionally broken up big events into multiple.
This is a pretty big event.
So we'll have to address some of it next week.
Yes, and I'll have some... I'm going to have some product from that show to talk about as well.
So there you go. That'll tie in lovely for next week's episode. So with all of that being said...
Indeed.
Don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at bkgeekstuff.com. You can find us on the Facebook, facebook.com/bkgeekstuff. YouTube is the same. You can find us on Twitter, @bkgeekstuff, @scapegoatgs, and @geekstuffog. And I think that's it. Oh, the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
Sorry,
I'm out of practice.
That's all right. And I think that might be it.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, OG, we will bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close, the way we end all episodes, by saying good night, Percy Sledge, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.